This episode of Check the Locks is brought to you by our friends at Audible.
Audible is your one-stop shop for audio entertainment where you can always find the best of what you love or discover something new.
That's right. Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, from mysteries, thrillers, biographies, and of course, true crime.
And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month from their catalog to keep forever, including the latest bestsellers and new releases.
Audible members also get access to thousands of podcasts from popular favorites, exclusive new series, and this very podcast you're listening to now.
Plus, the Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere. While traveling, working out, walking the dog, doing chores, Audible makes listening anywhere easy.
And best of all, Check the Locks listeners can try Audible for free for 30 days. So head over to audibletrial.com/checkthelocks or click the link in the show notes to start enjoying Audible today.
Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying true crime case. But before we get started, Olivia, it's so good to see you. I've missed you. So happy to have you back. How are you? How are you hanging in? How are you doing?
I mean, it's been probably, what, 3 weeks more than that?
Yes, it's been a hot minute, which is really weird for us not seeing each other. So,
yeah, well, we've had a lot of life happenings. I'm doing okay. You know, I'm still at home with my family, celebrating the life of my grandmother who passed away. So thank you everyone for being so gracious and understanding during this time, with John, you know, dealing with losses in his family and mine as well. But no, it's been good. It's going home tomorrow and back to the grind of such is life, you know. How are you?
I'm doing good. And, you know, I did notice, I kind of talked about this when you were out, but it's crazy sometimes the way that our community rallies around us when stuff like this happens. And I know I felt very lucky when, you know, my grandmother and my grandfather passed away, and just the way that our community came out and was like, hey, like, we're here for you and, you know, thinking about you and what do you need? And it just really kind of warmed my heart when I saw them doing the exact same thing for you. So, you know, just super happy to be part of this community, and for everyone who is listens to this show and gets involved with it. It really does mean a lot.
It does. It made me feel very special, just to know that, you know, people reached out and said, I heard on the podcast, you know, that you had lost your grandmother, and I really appreciate it. I really appreciate everybody being so understanding. But on a brighter note, what you been up to, John?
You know, today was Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there that are listening to the podcast. And it's, you know, just been getting through working and, you know, recording, obviously missing you when you weren't here and doing those short on time episodes. But we spent a lovely day with family today. We smoked some ribs and had some smoked chicken and some smoked cheeseburgers. I had all the meats. It was delicious. And it was a really good time. Got to make my wife feel special, and you know, that's the best part of the whole day. So,
well, what'd you get her? Anything good?
Oh yeah. Well, I kind of went with like a, let me let you pamper yourself. So I got her a certificate to a nice spa to go get a massage and get taken care of that way. And then Millie really likes getting her nails done with her mom. So I bought her a gift card that was big enough for Kara and Millie to go together, but then for Kara to go by herself as well. So she gets that like pampering day, but then they can do something together too. So,
yeah, well, we had a very lazy day here at this household, but I think it was much needed. You know, we all just kind of hung out and kind of stayed in our pajamas today, and ate some food from everybody that brought over food for us, and we just kind of hung out and relaxed. So it's been a good Mother's Day.
Well, that is awesome. I'm glad again that you're getting to spend time with family. And if you're listening, I hope, you know, if you're a mom, that you were spoiled and taken care of and just shown all the love in the world. And if you're listening and you have a mom and you didn't do that, what's wrong with you? So, but I'm really happy that we're back. Really happy to get in the case. I mean, I feel like I haven't said this in forever, but what do you say? Should we just get into it?
I think we should.
All right, let's do it.
Well, I think this week's case, John, is kind of popular to some, and I don't think I really realized that it was popular until I got into it, but I'll talk about that more towards the end. So you might already know this case, and a lot of our listeners might already know this case, but I don't, so I did it.
Hey, I do not know it. I know, mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil anything. I know we're going to talk about some things later that, you know, may be based on this case, that I'm aware of those things, but I didn't know that this had anything to do with it. So I'm coming in with fresh ears, so I'm super excited.
All right. Well, very good.
Very good indeed. Before we get started, happy mm-hmm. and podcast anniversary, by the way. We didn't get a chance to mention that, but you know, just wanted to say happy podcast anniversary. We're starting year number 3. So I'm glad we're back and we're going to do it. So with that being said, I'm sorry. Please proceed with the case.
Well, I think year 3 should be a lot brighter for us. Don't you think?
I think
year 2 was a struggle. You know, we had our bumps where we had to sacrifice, but we made it. We came out on top.
I don't have many grandparents left, so I don't know what else can happen. So
I'm just, yeah.
Here's hoping for a little bit of lighter year 3. But yeah, let's do it. Let's get into it.
Well, since we're talking about grandparents, I'm going to go ahead and just dedicate this little true crime episode to my grandma, whose 95th birthday would be Monday that this episode is coming out.
Well, I love that.
That's okay with you.
No, I'm totally great with that. And I think it's a great way to honor her. So again, I'm sorry. I know you were just getting the ball rolling and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was like, we didn't get a chance to like talk about it or anything like that. So podcast anniversary and dedication. So I am ready. Let's do it.
Elizabeth Ann Betty Broderick was born November 7th, 1947 in Brooklyn, New York. She was raised by Marita and Frank Basiglia, one an Irish Catholic and the other an Italian Catholic. They raised their 6 children in Catholic Church, and Betty was the 3rd of 6. She was devout and attended a local women's Catholic college after high school. She graduated from the College of Mount St. Vincent with a degree in early childhood education and a minor in English. When she was a young graduate, she met Dan Broderick. Dan was from a large Irish Catholic family like Betty. He was in medical school at the time. The two quickly married on April 12, 1969. He decided that he would expand his career and attend law school. While Dan was in law school at Harvard, Betty worked as an elementary school teacher. She was the sole provider for their growing family. After Dan graduated, the pair moved to La Jolla, California. Dan and Betty quickly started a family, returning from their honeymoon pregnant with their first child. Betty would deliver children steadily through the 1970s. They would have 5 children total, but one sadly died shortly after birth. After Dan was successfully out of medical and law school, Betty worked part-time, but her main focus was on their family. Dan quickly rose to the top, both financially and professionally. He was earning more than $1 million a year. Now, John, do you want to pull up our inflation calculator? Because we're talking about 34 years ago, almost 35.
Yeah, let me check and see what that is. So just looking it up, adjusted for inflation, $1 million in 1989 is the equivalent in purchasing power today, 2024, to about $2,518,806.45. So Betty and Dan were balling out of control. Like, that is a ton of money to be making a year.
Oh, yeah. Well, it gets better. You know, they lived a lavish lifestyle of country clubs, boats. They had a ski condo, and some expensive cars. And over time, this wouldn't fix the holes that developed in their marriage between Dan and Betty. But later in 1982, he had hired a 21-year-old named Linda Colquina to be his legal assistant. Now, this raised a few concerns with Betty, as Linda had no college experience and was previously just a flight attendant.
Yeah, I can imagine why that would look a little suspicious. I mean, you know, if your husband is at work, he's got a good paying job. All of a sudden, his new assistant is this person with no experience and a former flight attendant. Like, I think I have an idea now where this turn is going to come in. But I'm, you know, again, you know, makes sense that some bells would go off or maybe somebody would be a little suspicious.
Well, yeah, now and about a year after Linda was hired, Betty began to suspect that she and Dan were having an affair, which Dan repeatedly denied it. But several years later, in February 1985, Dan moved out of the home he built for his family, and the pair would later start a nasty battle. He made it extremely difficult for Betty during their divorce. At this time, he was the San Diego Bar Association president, so Betty struggled to find a lawyer willing to represent her against her husband. He would later obtain full custody of all their children, and some say this is thanks to his position of power. Now, this divorce would be drawn out over the next 4 years. Betty was not amenable to selling their family home. She felt that she was entitled to have the profits of their home plus $40,000. Betty received this request, and Dan also purchased her a $650,000 home in La Jolla. As the divorce continued, Betty requested $1 million in cash and then $25,000 a month for life. We already know what this $1 million would be for inflation, but what would this alimony of $25,000 a month be?
So when I look it up here, $25,000 in 1989 is the equivalent of $63,640.25 today. So she would have been...
Can you imagine?
Yeah, I mean, that would be very comfortable, even in, you know...
La Jolla.
Yeah, even a place like California, you know, because the cost of living there is really expensive, but...
So what you're telling me is she wants $1 million cash. She wants $25,000 a month. And he bought her a house for $650,000, which means that house is probably a decent sized house.
Yeah. And, you know, listen, because I have a feeling, again, I know where this case is going to go. But what I will say is if you supported somebody as they were doing medical school and law school, not saying that it's right, but I feel like if in emotionally charged situations like that, somebody may feel that they're entitled to that. The only reason you have what you have right now is because I supported you while you did it. You know what I mean? And so I think, you know, again, not saying it's right or wrong because every situation is different, but, you know, I can imagine somebody being like, no, I'm going to get my piece of the pie, you know?
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
Well, Betty was refusing to take custody of their children until she was paid. And I don't know if this is her way of saying, like, I can't support my children because you are basically cutting me off and I can't find an attorney that's willing to go up to bat against you. Or if this is just her way of being manipulative. Like, I have, I don't know what's, you know, somebody obviously dies in this case, but we'll talk about it after, I guess.
I'm sure a case could be made either way.
Right? Either way, yeah. But unfortunately, Betty would only receive $28,000 from Dan. And that's because of the result of Epstein credits. Do you know what Epstein credits are, John?
the only thing I can think is that it's like a voucher for that dude's plane and you don't want to be on the list. No, I do not know it. There's only one Epstein that I know about, and right. I doubt he has anything. I hope he has nothing to do with this case, but no, what are Epstein credits?
So Epstein credits are reimbursements you can ask for if you use your own money to pay off shared debts. So say you and Kara separate and you continue to pay on the house, you can go back and ask for reimbursement of all the money that you put of your own money to continue to pay for shared assets. So yeah, he bought her a house, but he's also like, hey, I've been paying the mortgages and hey, I've been doing this. So she only got $28,000.
Which, to be fair,
it's still a chunk of change.
That's close to $70,000.
And she still gets her house.
Yeah. Like, you're doing all right. You could also sell that $650,000 house, downgrade, still have plenty of room. Again, $650,000 house in the 80s. You know what I mean? That's a Scarface house. You know, you're living in a mansion.
Yeah. Well, after their divorce was finalized in 1989, Betty displayed bizarre and erratic behavior. She would call Dan repeatedly, leaving him threatening and profane messages. Dan continued his relationship with Linda despite the harassment by Betty. He would have several restraining orders against her that she refused to abide by. Now, in April of 1989, Dan and Linda were finally able to wed. You know, he hired her back in 1982, so they've probably been dating since 84, 85, and so 4 years later, they're able to get married. But Linda expressed her concerns to Dan about his safety. She felt uneasy about Betty and her threatening ways. After their wedding, Betty vandalized the newlyweds' home. She even ran her car into the front door despite her children being in the house. Now, this time the police were called and Betty was arrested. She was found to have a knife on her after she drove her car into their home. She was placed on a 72-hour psychiatric hold. Now, fast forward to the early morning hours of November 5th, 1989. Betty drove to Dan and Linda's home near Balboa Park. Around 5:30 in the morning, Betty used her daughter's house key to enter their home. Dan and Linda were fast asleep in their bedroom. Betty shot Linda twice, once in the head and once in the chest, killing her instantly. And she fired 3 shots towards Dan, hitting him once in the chest and the other 2 hitting the wall and his nightstand. Linda was only 28 and Dan was just shy of his 45th birthday. Shortly after the murders, Betty turned herself in. She told police that she never planned to kill Dan or Linda. At her trial, the defense claimed Betty was a battered wife who had suffered years of psychological, physical, and mental abuse at the hands of her ex-husband, Dan. A forensic psychiatrist was used to claim that Dan Broderick had histrionic and narcissistic personality disorder. This concluded the first trial on a hung jury due to lack of intent. Now, years later, Betty underwent a second trial with the same defense team and prosecutor. There were no major differences in evidence from the first trial. However, the second time, the jury returned a guilty verdict on 2 counts of second-degree murder. Betty Broderick was sentenced to 2 consecutive 15 years to life plus 2 years for illegal use of a firearm. She has remained in prison since she confessed on November 5th, 1989. She's been serving her sentences at the California Institute for Women in Chino. She's been denied parole 3 times, once in 2010, again in 2011, and again in 2017. Betty is not eligible again until 2032, and at that time, she'll be 84 years old. Now, John, this is what I was talking about, where the case seems to be pretty popular, but I didn't seem to know about it, so I'm not really in the know, but this has had several movies. There's been several TV series using the story of Betty Broderick. She's had TV interviews with Oprah and on 2020. There's been 5 books written about this. There's been episodes of Law and Order, My Favorite Murder. And apparently the second season of Dirty John on Netflix is about Betty Broderick. And then I think there's also an Oxygen series of her on Snapped. But lots of things that I didn't know about reading about this. So what'd you think?
This story is crazy. I did not know. Like, I've heard of Dirty John. I know the premise for like the first season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really, I had no idea that the second season was based on this at all. But no, I mean, I think this case is super interesting. And I think it speaks a lot to the way that sometimes like we long, especially if you've lived in it, right? So like if you've lived in this life of luxury where, you know, you're taking lavish vacations and you're driving expensive cars and you're living like this kind of, like I said, ball in life. And all of a sudden that's just taken away from you. Even in a $650,000 house, when you're used to making, you know, $1 million a year, you know what I mean? Like that could, I could imagine that would still feel like a downgrade. You know what I mean? If you're not the kind of person who's just thankful for what they have. Right. So, you know, I think it speaks a lot to, sometimes there's certain people who are like, I need to be at this kind of status. And like, how dare you take this from me? And you owe me this and you owe me that. And it's just crazy how something like that could drive someone to murder two people, you know?
Yeah. And there was a lot of things on there about like, she claims that she was just trying to, you know, do like scare tactic or shoot herself in front of them. And apparently she claimed that they were screaming. And so that's what alarmed her to fire the gun. But I mean, that's like 6 shots. That's not an accident. That's emptying the magazine or the revolver or whatever. Like, that's not an accident. Like, oh, an accident is, oh, they screamed, it startled me, I shot one shot and I killed them. That to me could be more solidified as an accident, even though she shouldn't be breaking into their home in the morning and having the gun in the first place. But I just don't see 6 shots as an accident.
Yeah, I totally agree. And also, you know, crashing your car into their home and bringing a weapon with you to hurt them is sets intent. If I was a juror, I'd be like, all right, there's already been intent set. Like, you've tried to hurt them before. You've dreaded
with your children in the home.
Right. And you're reckless. So how am I supposed to believe now that this, did you accidentally drive your car into their house with a knife? Or
did you accidentally steal your child's house key to their father's home?
Right.
Break into their house and have a gun?
Yeah. So money makes you do weird things.
Crazy,
and that
things.
It is one of those things. I think there's a lot of truth. I was just talking about this with a friend of mine over the weekend, but you know, there's that whole thing about like money doesn't make you a bad person. It just kind of highlights the traits that are already there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you're kind of a bad person when you're poor, if you got money, you're just, you know, going to be extra bad. You know what I mean? So, right. You know, again, it's just kind of that, like in this case, it's like, I don't have that and I want it. And like, you took this from me is what it really feels like, you know? Also with Linda, you know, again, I can't imagine just going through kind of like I said, like you paid for Dan to go to medical school, to law school. You've got, you know, a bunch of kids together. You spent the entire 70s giving birth to this dude's kids. And then it's like he trades you in for the newer model. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just, again, not saying that it's right, but I could feel how someone would. I can understand how someone would feel disrespected. You know what I mean? Not saying that that has, you know, normal people go through this situation all the time and don't, you know, murder
their
anyone.
Ex but, and their new wife.
Yeah. But if you got mental illness, you know, only takes a trigger or two, you know?
Yeah. Well, this one's probably not a super scary one on the deadbolt test, but if we're just, you know, give me a minute to get my groove back going and get back on track with check the locks. But what do you think?
I mean, I'll put this at a 6 for sure. Because I can imagine the entire time they were married, Dan was like, I got a good marriage. You know, it seems like everything was healthy up until that point. And then he was like, I'm just going to leave. You know, he does what we talk about all the time. Don't kill your spouse. Just be like, I'm leaving.
I'm leaving. Here's you a house.
Yeah. And like
taking care of the kids.
Yeah. Has done everything. I would say, you know, yes, the way that he left her, really shitty, but did be like, hey, I'm, you know, trying to make sure that you're taken care of, the kids are taken care of. And I'm sure that when he made this decision, he was not like, oh, well, Betty's, you know, going to go homicidal and try to murder me. He was just like, I'm leaving my wife, you know? So the idea again of like, you're married to someone for, you know, a couple decades and you leave them and then it's like, oh, okay, this is who you were under the surface the whole time. You know, it's,
I mean,
it's,
that's 20 years. They got married in 1969.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's scary to think as a married person. you know, tomorrow's my anniversary. So like, yeah, 8 years. You know what I mean? We've been together 8 years. Yeah. Well, and you know, right now I'm like, nothing like that would ever happen. You know what I mean? But it's the idea of like, a light switch flips and all of a sudden, you know, one of us is a monster, you know? So yeah, I'm going to put it at 6. What about you?
You know, I'm going to put it at a 5. I'm not a big, I don't get the killing of your spouse. Just walk away. And he tried. It's just like you said, walk away. You know, life's going to be hard when you're about, you know, trying to navigate the kids and the splitting of the assets and things like that. And, you know, I have no experience with that, but I can't imagine that it's very easy. I have watched people suffer through divorces for years and years and years, and I think that it's sad, but I don't know. You just don't kill your spouse or your ex-spouse or the father of your child or the person you were married to for 20 years. Like, you just don't do that.
Yeah, 110%. Like, both of our parents are divorced, mm-hmm. you know, and they're
just fine.
Yeah. You know, just like, hey, I mean, it was rocky when they were going through it, but.
Oh, yeah, know, for sure.
I know my parents got married when I was 15. I'm almost 40. So, you know, it was rocky during that time, but now it's like everybody just kind of coexists and it is yeah. what it is, you know.
My parents have been divorced longer than they were married and now they have grandkids and it's just different.
Yeah, it's super intense and things like this, they just never make sense to me at all. But that is where we fall on the deadbolt test. But as always, we got to throw it out to our listeners, our locksmiths. We're back together. It feels great to ask you this question with Olivia and I together. But where does the murder of Dan Broderick and Linda Colquina fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what are you doing? Come hang out with us. We would love to get to know you, spend some time with you, you know, just learn a little bit about you. You know, who are you? What do you like? Come hang out with us. Spend a little time with us. And Olivia, speaking of profane and threatening voicemail messages, you want to know what?
We have a scary one?
No, but we got a voicemail.
Okay, great.
Hey, John and Olivia. It's Lindsay. I guess I would call myself your sister wife, Olivia, since we were both crazy enough to go on reality TV to try to find our partner. But I just want to let you know that I love listening to your podcast. It always keeps me company on my long drives to and from work or on my way to the gym. And frankly, there's nothing like a little murder to relax you, especially when you think your whole life is going chaotically. Anyways, I am really enjoying some of these stories and I look forward to hearing some of your new podcasts. Thank you for keeping me entertained. And let's hear some stuff about nurses, Olivia. You know...
Oh my gosh, it's Lindsay from Married at First Sight Boston. Shout out. That's so cool. Yes, she does tell me. We text every now and then and she'll talk about the podcast and how she enjoys it. So thanks for leaving us a voicemail. What?
Yes, Lindsay, thank you so much for leaving that voicemail. And again, for it not being threatening or profane. We truly appreciate that. But thank you for listening. We would love to get you some goodies out. We got stickers and all sorts of stuff. And Olivia, again, I'm so happy to have you back because we haven't got a chance to do this in a while. And, you know, this case kind of, you know, it got under my skin just a little bit. I put it at a 6. It's higher than a 5.
Yeah.
Weirded me out a little bit. I need something to clear my palate, my senses. Do you have a 5-star review for us to read?
I do. This week's 5-star review comes from MLMTZ101419. So that's a lot there. MLMTZ101419. And they said, I started listening where there were about 30 or so episodes in the bank after my sister recommended it to me since I loved Olivia on her season of MAFS. I wasn't sure what to expect, but I love the rapport between John and Olivia and look forward to new episodes every week. Now I recommend Check the Locks to all my friends looking for a new true crime podcast to listen to. Great job, you two. So thank you, MLMTZ101419. And if there's a different way to say that, definitely let me know. I just kind of spell things. But let us know who you are so we can send you and Lindsay some stuff for leaving us some reviews and some voicemails.
Yeah, it feels like Melmets. M-L-M-T-Z, right? Is that?
Melmets.
Melmets. So Melmets.
Melmets.
Melmets. Thank you.
101419.
Yes. Melmets 101149, I think is what you said. But thank you for taking the time to leave us that review. It really does mean a lot. You know, we talk about it all the time, but these reviews, they help us to get in other shows' recommendations. They help new listeners to find the show. And again, all we want to do is grow the community. Those reviews really help to do that. Also, Melmets 101149, thank you to your sister as well for sharing the show with you so you can find it and listen. Like, that's exactly what we're trying to do is just, again, bring more people into our community. I also wanted to say, if we have read your review recently in the last, you know, couple of episodes over the last month and you haven't received your goodies yet, there's been a lot going on. So we have them in queue. We're getting everything sent out. Just please be patient with us. We're just kind of catching up from, you know, everything that's been happening outside of the show. So really appreciate your understanding. Just didn't want anybody to think we forgot about them or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't think I've even been home really for... When I have been home, I've just been working every day. So I'm not even really home.
Yeah. So it's, again, it's just been a little bit of a period of adjustment, but we're getting caught up on everything and we'll get everything out very, very shortly. So thank you again for your patience and your understanding.
Yes.
And as always, if you like what we do, you want to help us keep the lights on, you want to support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks. Get signed up today. We got a lot of great benefits, a lot of exclusive tiers. You can get stickers, coffee mugs, t-shirts, all sorts of stuff that you can only get for being a patron. They're special designs that we have up for patron only. And you get the episodes without commercials. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those ads, Patreon is the way to go. So again, you want to help us keep the lights on, throw us a couple of bones. You can do that at patreon.com/checkthelocks. Get signed up today. And as always, if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening and sharing what we do with your friends and family, just like we were talking about with Melmets 101149. It helps us out so much. Again, it's that word of mouth, right? It's sending that link. Hey, have you heard of the show? Check out this episode, things like that. So that's what you're doing, helping us grow on that grassroots level. Just know that we appreciate that more than we could ever tell you. That is all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you are subscribed to Check the Locks in your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying true crime case, but until then, don't forget to hit them, Olivia.
Check the locks.
See you next week.